The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com, What to Do When You Feel Lonely, Finding Strength in Solitude. This article was written by Melek Azad on November 23rd. Have you ever noticed how embarrassed you feel when you are alone and a group of girls or boys walk across you in the mall? Is that feeling as normal as you think it should be? The pressure to belong. Let's talk about being a loner, not in a being left out of a hangout way, but being completely in solitude, spending time with just yourself. According to the typical high school experience, you're supposed to have a group or a clique. If you don't, oh boy, you're such a loser. Somehow, being alone is seen as a loner, even though the terms have completely different meanings. So, why can't we change the outdated narrative? What if being alone is powerful, amazing, inspirational, and meaningful? Perhaps others would start wishing they could spend more time alone. Societal expectations of friendships. It's gotten to the point where social media obsessively promotes the ideal friend group, the trio, the duo. It never ends. Friendships are treated like badges. The more you have, the more successful you are. I have felt this too. The pressure to stick with a group that never made me feel good, even made worse sometimes because it's better than nothing. But here's the thing. Feeling the pressure to belong never equals a real connection. So we should not put so much weight on it. We are human beings, and we need true connection, not pressure to connect. Social media impacts how we view friendships and creates harmful standards that we must be socially out there and collect people rather than experience an authentic connection that makes us happy, even if that's being with ourselves. We've all seen or heard of the loner stereotype in TV, movies, and real life. Batman is a great example. He's a loner, as society labels him, but he spends his days protecting and saving Gotham City. Batman shows us that his solitude allows him to thrive and accomplish great things, bigger than being socially accepted. These characters show how, when channeled positively, isolation lets us become resilient and powerful and achieve self-fulfillment. Alone time versus lonely time. There's a difference between being lonely and being alone. Sometimes we let this slip past us. Being lonely is longing for a connection, something outside of our control. Some people feel lonely, and that hurts them. But what about being alone? That's a state of mind. You choose to isolate and focus on your overall well-being. Alone time lets us explore our interests and passions and understand our true potential without the distractions of needing to impress those around us. Studies show that spending time alone can improve creativity, resilience, and productivity. Harvard School of Education suggests that solitude can help teenagers process emotions better. Time away from social media and people allows us to be more self-aware of our actions, words, mental health, and well-being. It also promotes personal values and perseverance in reaching our goals. Another study from the University of Michigan found that being in solitude builds comfort with being alone, as well as self-esteem for stepping out of your comfort zone. Teenagers who participated in this study ended up building deeper connections and friendships with others. Why? Because they were comfortable with themselves and no longer felt pressured to fit in. The positive side of being alone. This isn't to suggest you should isolate yourself from everyone. Rather, you should establish a healthy balance between nurturing friendships and maintaining independence. If you ever feel lonely, whether due to friends moving away, relocating to a new place yourself, or even just spending time alone in public, there's no need to feel ashamed or inadequate. Solitude is an opportunity to recharge, enhance creativity, and focus on what makes you unique. Ultimately, solitude can help you build a sense of self that doesn't rely on external validation. This confidence in your own company, cultivated over time, is an invaluable trait that everyone should experience. Embracing alone time. Tips to acclimate. Okay, if you are new to this, how do you start? 1. Discover your hobbies. Explore activities you enjoy independently, such as painting, reading by the riverside, journaling, baking, or reconnecting with spirituality through prayer. Being in solitude can help you discover what you are passionate about. These activities are not meant to pass the time, but to strengthen your skills and tap into creativity. This allows you to slow down, provides a therapeutic outlet, and helps you process your thoughts and feelings. 2. Practice self-care. It isn't just about pampering yourself, but restoring your mental health balance while providing love to your body and mind. Use your solitude to indulge in self-care routines, such as exercise, skincare, or even a personal spa day. Take time to recharge and focus on your well-being. Some of these may seem like a lot, but they don't just benefit the body. They benefit the mind. Solitude allows you to focus on your body's needs while eliminating all distractions. We all need time to detach ourselves sometimes and focus on our well-being. 3. Take yourself out. Visit places you would typically go with friends, like a movie theater, park, cafe, or restaurant. This may initially feel unusual, but over time, it can become liberating and restorative. If dining alone or visiting public spaces solo feels intimidating, start with smaller outings. Try a casual cafe where you can bring a book or journal. Over time, these outings become something you look forward to. They become opportunities to connect with your thoughts and appreciate your own company. Changing the narrative. Everyone's path is different. Most importantly, social labels don't define who you are or who you should be. Each person should feel comfortable being with themselves. Let's start to embrace being by ourselves because we are more than what others limit us to be. We should aim to normalize and celebrate solitude, recognizing that it signifies confidence and self-reliance rather than a lack of connection. Closing thoughts. Being alone is a superpower. So, why does the idea of being alone often inspire fear? Because we haven't taken enough time to see the beauty in it. Solitude enables self-reflection, encourages healthy habits, and allows us to grow without the pressure of conforming to others' expectations. Let's rethink what it means to be a loner and embrace the potential for self-discovery that comes with solitude. Instead of fearing loneliness, Take the time alone to uncover your strengths, passions, and power within your own company. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Dear Gen Z, it's okay to not know what you're doing. This article was written by Jada Jules Warner on November 16th. Does anyone really know what they're doing? Truth be told, I do not. In fact, I'm sure many of you do not. There is such a thing as a plan or rough idea, but the reality is that many of us will stray away from these. It is not credited enough how difficult it is to comprehend and stick to a plan. The constant peer pressure and idealized, finalized plan is over-glamorized and unrealistic. I will be discussing how reality may differ and how it is okay to not know what you are doing. Why do we feel the need to know it all? Due to the way that having a dream job is emphasized within schools and society, it has become a pressure to have everything planned. This is why we believe that we need to know it all. With the way social media has risen and these views have spread, it has become forgotten that teenagers are still learning, going through massive milestones, e.g. college, and most importantly, are impressionable. Being told by our teachers that we need to get our act together and prioritize our futures can create an unhealthy mindset, possibly leading to teenagers feeling daunted by the future. On the other hand, it can also seem as if the plans and careers we do dream of are too far-fetched. Jobs within the media are often scrutinized, and the first thing many people hear is about it not being a stable career. Although, this does not have to be true. The way you manage in your field is what will determine how far you get. An example of this is how, as a writer in this generation, social media has made it much easier for young journalists, such as myself, to get our writing online and to network, allowing us to begin early and develop our skills in the job we want. Not being deterred from trying is what is critical, and arguably what will give you the edge you need to get where you want to be, even if that where you want to be is being able to get a hazy idea of what interests you and what you would like to pursue. Pathways, plans, and peers. As previously mentioned, we often feel the need to follow the glamorized societal standard to have a clear, comprehensive plan and stick to it. The main institution within society that we have developed this idea from is schools. As an A-level student, part of the curriculum is to create a fully developed pathway plan, highlighting all aspects of the job we want and everything we are expected to know / skills needed for the job. However, what about us students who did not decide when we were young children that we wanted to be doctors when we grew up? Some of us do not have a planned career path, and instead of that being seen as a path of us still growing, it is shamed upon. The idea of having a fully planned future is unrealistic. As teenagers, we have no real experience, yet how are we expected to know exactly what we want and how we are going to get there? Often, we meet people along the way who help us develop to a further point, i.e., a teacher who may inspire, a role model celebrity you discover, or a motivational speaker with ideas you have never heard before, yet now consider and are inspired by. All of these are small steps in the direction of figuring where you want to end up. Most roads are not flat. They are often bumpy. Your road to figuring out what you want may take many turns. different ideas and motivations arise as you develop and gain new experiences. Just because your peers in class are planning their exact route to university and careers does not mean you need to be at that stage if you are still building your road. The truth of not knowing. By not knowing, you have the greatest weapon, the chance to be adventurous. You should grasp the fact that you are not sure, and instead of letting it freeze you in one place, allow it to drive you further into a world of trying new things and taking all the opportunities you get. The only way to figure out what you like is to be optimistic. Academically speaking, there are always new opportunities, apprenticeships, extracurricular clubs. If you are particularly interested in a subject, do some research and see what you can find. Personally, I have an interest in sociology, so writing articles targeted at teens allows me to express my views and insights, while of course considering the societal themes and pop culture trends to include. Taking your favorite subject a step further outside of school could lead you to find what you want to do in the future. You are not behind. However, I have spoken a lot about finding what you want, but you do not need to have a plan right now. Everyone makes their milestones in different stages. Some people take them earlier in life, others later on. There is a reason that we have further education. It is never too late to pursue your dreams, even if you do not figure them out until years after you have left school. You are not behind. You're going at your own pace, and there is nothing wrong with that. Speaking from personal experience, I finished my GCSEs and took a year off of education to experience a little bit of a different routine before starting my A-levels, and I do not feel behind. I am where I need to be right now. And to conclude, I hope you allow yourself to be where you need to be. There is no rush to know everything and have your whole life planned. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Unpacking the latest TikTok trend. What does demure actually mean? This article was written by Mel Overton on November 25th. The word demure has been circulating social media lately, but where did it actually come from, and how has it led to someone finally being able to complete their transition? After becoming a viral sensation, millions of TikTok users started using demure as part of their everyday vocabulary. And for some, it was an earworm you can't get rid of. However, this word isn't new. The first known use of this adjective was 1377, during the Middle English period. According to the Oxford Learner's Dictionaries, the meaning of this word is behaving in a quiet, shy way that does not attract attention, and during the late Middle English period, sober, serious, reserved. Jules LeBron and the viral TikTok. The trend first surfaced with Chicago-based creator Jules LeBron posting the first of three short videos posted to TikTok on the 2nd of August 2024, titled How to Be Demure at Work. The next post in this series was on the 5th, which is now pinned at the top of her account on the platform. This video, titled How to Be Demure and Modest and Respectful at the Workplace, quickly shot to viral fame, reaching over 53.7 million viewers. Before becoming a viral sensation, LeBron was working as a cashier in Illinois, posting makeup tutorials and GRWM, Get Ready With Me, videos, as well as posting about her impressive collection of Bratz dolls, previously sharing, that she has an emotional support Bratz doll that she likes to keep with her. In 2023, she even partnered up with another viral beauty influencer, Patrick Starr, on a beauty campaign on Starr's own brand, One Size. Finding herself and funding the transition. Jules LeBron has opened up about her life as a trans woman, posting a video on TikTok on her platform in March 2023, exploring her coming out journey. She had mentioned it was through watching other transgender social media influencers, such as Gigi Gorgeous, La Demi, and Nikita Dragon, that led her to realize that she was a woman. It was these fellow influencers that had inspired LeBron to be honest about her identity, especially as she didn't have many trans role models in her life. It was with many thanks to her viral TikTok videos that LeBron had been able to fund her transition, something that would typically cost anywhere from $60,000 to $140,450, with an additional $1,500 a year for hormone therapy. Unfortunately, as most healthcare insurance companies don't offer gender reassignment as part of their coverage. Even though the word demure might have originated centuries ago, its resurgence as this viral moment of 2024 has created a sort of ripple effect far beyond the original meaning. Jules LeBron's story can only attest to the power of social media, where a single word shared by millions can lead to a life-changing outcome. For LeBron and her followers, demure has become a symbol of authenticity, courage, and even community. As the trend continues, it's clear that social media can unite people, providing not only entertainment, but also a platform for people to share their journeys, find acceptance, and lead to opportunities to achieve dreams. In a world where finding a connection is just a screen tap away, the demure trend reminds us that sometimes a single word or a catchy phrase is all it takes to make a difference. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo break down that holding space moment. This article was written by Ashley Carter on December 7th. Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo are holding space and laughing about a recent viral interview moment that has taken hold of social media. The two Wicked actors sat down for an interview with Variety, released on Friday, alongside the film's director, John M. Chu, and spoke about a clip that's unofficially become the internet video of the year. Erivo and Grande broke down each part of the interview with Out Magazine, where journalist Tracy Gilchrist famously told the actors that people are holding space for the lyrics of Defying Gravity. "I don't know what any part of it meant," Grande said, as Chu laughed. "I didn't understand the first sentence, and then I definitely didn't understand what was happening," how Erivo responded. In the clip, which was shared on X on November 21st by user at Masha Party and now has more than 68 million views, showed Gilchrist explaining reactions she's seen online for Defying Gravity, the powerful ballad that ends Wicked Part 1. Erivo begins to react emotionally in the clip, saying, "I didn't know that that was happening." "I've seen it, yeah," Gilchrist continues. "I don't know how widespread, but, you know, I am in queer media." Grande remained silent during the clip, but turned to Erivo to offer her support, which meant grabbing her finger. "I just wanted to be there," she told Variety, "'cause I knew something big was happening, and I didn't know how to be there." In Grande's mind, she realized the interviewer had said one thing, while Erivo had taken it to mean another. It was unclear what that was, or if the two actors had been doing so much press over the last several months that maybe Erivo herself didn't even know. She said that she had seen it because she was in queer media. I honestly didn't know what that meant. Am I also in queer media? Great, let's both be there, Erivo said. The clip took off, inspiring merchandise and memes, immediately entering into the cultural lexicon. Many people online were also confused as to what the interviewer meant when she mentioned people were holding space for a 20-year-old song. Gilchrist told Variety in an interview that holding space means being physically, emotionally, and mentally present with someone or something. She also said that for context, the interview with Grande and Erivo, a queer woman, took place a day after Donald Trump was elected president for the second time. The Trump administration is targeting LGBTQ+ people via Project 2025. When Cynthia sings, "I'm through accepting limits," there's power in that. She plays a character who is othered, Gilchrist explains. There's a lot of resonance there right now for anyone who is marginalized. For me, holding space is listening to those lyrics anew and finding solace or inspiration. While Gilchrist's intentions with the moment were deep and meaningful in an uncertain time for many, even Grande herself missed that part. I remember in the moment asking myself, "Am I okay? Did I not hear something?" Grande said. "I'm just really relieved that the world had the same experience with this moment that I did, because I felt like, oh, I'm not broken." Despite the endless jokes, and maybe some people finding the whole thing ridiculous, Erivo is taking it all in stride and laughing along with everyone else. "I do love how the world has, like, gone with it," Erivo said. "I love that it's become vernacular, which is really fun, that people are constantly saying, really holding space for that." We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.